And last week I said this, and I'll just say it again, that America is a different country. We're studying now the founding of our country. And I believe that America is a different country than perhaps every nation in the world because of the way it was founded and why it was founded. And it was founded differently. And so we're taking time to go through these things. And I even mentioned this last week again that I think that when we hear these miracles and we hear these great men, godly men that founded our country and that God used, you know, America is going through a very difficult time right now, I would say. The culture has changed very quickly. It's become anti-God very quickly, and maybe more so than any time in its history. But we've been through dire times before, and America is worth saving. America's worth salvaging, and some of these stories may inspire us to read more and be inspired to perhaps not forget to pray for our country and that God would bring it back as he has so many times before. But last week we left General Washington's army as they had crossed the Delaware in the dead of winter. I'll just back up and just say that the Continental Army were in 1776. Had a great victory, really a great escape from overwhelming British troops, and God had wrought a miracle and saved Washington's army as they escaped into New York. But the next few months did not go well, and Washington, the whole army was chased out of New York. They crossed into New Jersey and into Pennsylvania. In 6 months, the army had dwindled from 20,000 soldiers to 2,000, and they were exhausted. And many of them, if not most of them, were planning to leave at the year end. They had signed up for 6 months, and the 6 months was coming to an end. So Philadelphia was in a panic because the British were going to invade Philadelphia. That is the center of the revolution. And the Continental Congress, they packed up and they fled, I think, to Boston. And their last instructions were, until Congress shall otherwise order, General Washington shall be possessed of full power to order and direct all things. It was like, if it wasn't so dire, it'd be humorous, like, Washington's got this, you know, we're out of here. And so we saw last week that Washington, a very human man, of course, a great godly man, but very human, and he didn't know what to do, just overwhelmed by what was happening. We talked about a farmer found him praying in the field. And that farmer mentioned these words. He said he was imploring the God of the army to help. And he did this over and over. And one author said, inspired by heaven, he came up with the idea to surprise the British and German troops. So he crossed the ice-filled Delaware in a blizzard on Christmas night. No one expected that to happen on a holy day. And he trudged through the blinding snow and then marched his troops towards Trenton, New Jersey. Now, his idea was to get there by daybreak, to have some surprise, but he was about 3 hours behind, and December 26th dawned kind of peacefully that morning in Trenton. The Hessians and their commander slept soundly after a night of drinking and carousing, and Washington later wrote he was so afraid they were going to be seen. He said, "This made me despair of surprising the town as well, as I well knew we could not reach it before daylight. And what is more, the rain had soaked the muskets, so they were almost all useless." And so he ordered that they fix bayonets. He was determined to take Trenton at whatever cost. At 7:30, they ran into a few soldiers. A few Hessian soldiers that were guarding the town, and they, of course, saw what was happening. They saw these troops coming and turned and ran back into the town, yelling and screaming, but it was too late. The colonial troops began to fire upon buildings that the Hessians were in. They fired from every angle and began to rush the army there that was stationed in Trenton. Now, these feared German soldiers, they were highly trained, they were mercenaries, they were hired by the British to help them in the war, they were feared around the world, and they were trained, though, to fight in an open field, and they were not prepared for Americans firing behind every tree, and they were slow to react, and they came out of the buildings and slipped in the snow and the mud and tried to gain ranks, but to no avail. The gunfire and cannon fire came from every angle. One author said they were mowed down like wheat. The colonel in charge, Colonel Rawl, he was shot off his horse, mortally wounded, and the demoralized Hessians threw down their arms. Several hundred escaped, but more than 1,500 were captured. Washington took their surrender. He took Rawl's sword before he died. And then he inquired as to what were the American casualties. And it was reported that only three soldiers were wounded, and two had died. Two soldiers, though, had died on the march, had frozen to death on the march from the Delaware to Trenton. Of the three wounded, one of the officers was a young man named James Monroe. And as I'll back up and just say, as the troops were coming through the town, some of the towns that night, as they were silently marching on Trenton, a local doctor was awakened by the dogs that were barking at the troops. He rushed out in the darkness, and he angrily confronted Monroe, and he asked what they were doing. But upon learning they were Americans, his anger disappeared, and he said, "I know something is to be done, and I am going with you. I'm a doctor, and I may be able to help somebody." So during the battle, Monroe was shot in the chest. It severed an artery, and he later testified that, "I would have bled to death if this doctor had not been near." That impromptu decision by Dr. Riker to go with the troops, God used that as a miracle to save the life of the fifth president of the United States, James Monroe. And just miracle after miracle as these battles took place. General Knox, who was in charge of crossing the men across the river and marching them to Trenton, he reported on the complete shock of the Hessian troops at the moment of attack. He said this, thinking of 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "The hurry, fright, and confusion of the enemy was not unlike that which will be when the last trump will sound." And he continued, "Providence seemed to have smiled on every part of the enterprise." Now you can imagine after months of loss, this victory raised American spirits as they began to hear what had happened in Trenton. But General Cornwallis, the British general, was enraged by this. It was not gentlemanly to attack on Christmas night. And he sent 8,000 troops to attack Washington near Princeton and to wipe out this army once and for all. But again, Washington made an unprecedented move. The night before the battle, Washington left his campfires burning, and he slowly and silently marched behind the enemy lines and at daybreak attacked Cornwallis' troops at Princeton. At one point, one section of the American troops were demoralized, and they began to retreat. And Washington saw this from a distance, rode over, and turned them around and led them back into battle. At that point, the troops were about maybe 100 feet apart, 30 yards apart, just very, very close from here to the back of the building. And he rode between the lines, and he turned to his men and he said, "Fire." Well, there he was in the middle of the battlefield. This great plume of smoke rises. The British fired also. Colonel Fitzgerald, who was with Washington, took his hat off and covered his face because he thought Washington's going to be cut to pieces in the middle of this field. When the smoke cleared, there was Washington urging his men forward. He was untouched by the firing. And the British were captured. God provided another great victory. That was on January 3rd, just 10 days later. So enthusiasm swept through the colonies, and men who were quitting the army re-enlisted. Mountain boys from the hills came and enlisted, excited that these Americans have been able to beat the terrifying British and German troops. And the newfound patriotism swept across the colonies. But the war was far from over. There would be six more years of really terrible war. Congress returned to Philadelphia, invigorated and defiant to defy the British. The victory at Trenton and Princeton turned everything around, and God was showing the world who Washington was and who the ragtag army that had shown a willingness to fight was. Victories really came as a complete surprise to people and governments around the world. The whole world was watching this and wondering what was going to happen, maybe knowing that the British, who were perhaps the greatest fighting force in the world at that time, were thinking they were going to win. But it was just unbelievable to the rest of the world what was happening. Frederick the Great of Prussia, he called these 10 days from December 26th to January 3rd the most brilliant in the world's history. The president of Yale, Ezra Stiles, he said this in an address to the Connecticut General Assembly, and this is very interesting. He said, "In our lowest and most dangerous estate, we sustained ourselves against a British army of 60,000 troops commanded by the ablest generals Britain could procure. Independence was sealed and confirmed by God Almighty in the victory that George Washington had at Trenton and a surprising movement in Battle of Princeton. Who but Washington, inspired by heaven, could have struck out the great movement and maneuvering of Princeton?" The United States are under peculiar obligation to become a holy people unto the Lord our God. And historians have called these 10 days the 10 days that changed the world because of what would happen eventually in America being founded. And God's providence, as General Knox said, was shown at every turn. And really, we need to give God all the glory for what happened during these times. It's a forgotten time, but a time that's so important to our history. So we're studying these miracles in American history, and it's a great study. I hope it inspires you maybe to read a little bit more about it. And again, as I said, pray that God would restore our country.